Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Julio Jones to the Titans, AFC impact there. Derek Mason was on with us earlier, and he felt like they're still a top 10 team in the league, you know, top five in the AFC. But even he, like, I guess he agreed with you, Key. He doesn't think it has a huge impact on the Titans. They were going to be a good team. They still will be.
It's all about their defense, though. Can they defense stop anybody, right? Because we know what they're going to do from an offensive standpoint. Play action pass game. They're going to run the ball, stick the ball in the belly of the running back. Everybody sucks up. Deep crosses over the middle. Pull it back out. Throw it. That's what they're going to do. We all know that. If you played this game and you've seen this game and you understand the philosophy, that's what it is. So with getting Julio Jones, yeah, you replace Corey Davis. And Julio Jones may give you a little bit of something different if he's healthy. But it's not going to catapult him from where they were to all of a sudden knocking on the door to Kansas City Chiefs. That's not
right.
That's not it.
Yeah, they're not knocking on the door to Kansas City Chiefs. But, I mean, Jeff Darlington said, you know, if he were to have Buffalo being 2A, he would have, you know, Tennessee being 2B. I know Cleveland's in that conversation too. But, I mean,
I think that puts one at, though.
Yeah, I understand one is a different degree. But still, I mean, look, injuries happen. We saw that happen last year. Who knows how a season can play out. You know, but obviously, if teams are remaining healthy, I'm still going with Kansas City. But I think Tennessee is still in that upper echelon now. This move puts him in that upper echelon.
Kansas City and everybody else in the AFC, as far as I'm concerned.
I hear you, but that doesn't mean that you can't make incremental moves to become better. And I think this was a major move.
Major move.
I think it was a major move.
You just seem disappointed. Like, it's almost like the trade happened. There was some excitement about, oh, where he can end up and what impact it could have. And then when you heard it was Titans, it was almost like you felt –
Because I don't think Tennessee liked that, though, to begin with.
Is it because they're a heavy run dominant
game? They're a heavy run dominant team with a bad defense. That is not a good recipe.
They tried to improve it.
Well, we don't know. Obviously, they got Bud Dupree and all that. But we don't know what the improvement is until we get to September, October, November before we really see the challenging thing. That is what the key part is going to be. We know that they run the football. And they do it very, very well. Can they stop anybody on the defensive side of the ball?
Let me ask you this. They lose Corey Davis. He goes to the Jets. Who will have a bigger season production-wise, Julio Jones or Corey Davis?
Probably Julio Jones.
Still Julio Jones.
Yeah. Probably Julio Jones.
Corey had a good season. I mean, he didn't catch over 1,000 yards. I mean,
it's not 1,000 yards.
They're going to rely on him a lot, though.
Yes.
I'm saying on the Jets side. You're making it sound like Julio's not going to.
You were just with Zach Wilson at the game. You saw him in the box. How'd he look?
Yeah, I did get to see a lot of the Jets were at the, the Islanders game on Saturday night. They had a blast. That dude, Feeney, that once again, ripped off a beer can, just chugged it, the Coliseum went crazy, slamming on his head to a point where there's a –
Is that what you want to see from your team? You want to see that?
I want to see it at a hockey game. I don't see every.
You get excited about the Jets because a bunch of teammates was knocking down.
It's good to see the bonding. But everybody said this though about Feeney. I don't know if he can play, but I love him. Like, I mean, that's again for his popularity in New York. That though, and he did it again. Actually, he's done it twice now at an Islanders game, and this was against. This was Saturday night against the Bruins.
His legacy is going to be knocking beers down at a hockey event.
He just shotgunned that beer.
Just think about the first time he plays, and everybody's like, that's that guy Feeney, he's great. And then, like, something happens, like, ah. Like, he better be good now.
But the Julio Jones replacing Corey Davis, they can get the same production out of Julio that they got out of Corey Davis. But that's not what the Tennessee fans are thinking. They're thinking Julio Atlanta, 1,600 yards. It doesn't work like that. They're not just all of a sudden going away from A.J. Brown because Julio Jones is there. They're not going to all of a sudden abandon the run and what they do because Julio Jones is there. They're not going to all of a sudden decide that, oh, Ryan Tannehill is getting ready to be Aaron Rodgers. No, they're not going to do that.
Okay. So then if you're Robinson, why did you make this move?
Because you probably realize that when you let Corey Davis go, you didn't replace him, and there was a receiver that became available. You have to at least replace that receiver, and Julio Jones became available.
That production,
because you didn't replace Corey Davis, and you didn't re-sign Corey Davis for less money that you're getting ready to pay Julio Jones.
Jay, you were going to ask a question?
No, I just don't understand why is this there this argument that all of a sudden, like, you're just not going to go away from A.J. Brown and you got Julio Jones. Like, how come we can't see this? If you have two viable options, how come you can't kind of spread that out to a better degree? Like, why does it have to be, like, one or the other? How come it can't be both?
They could do the same. They could do the same things that they did with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. They both had 1,000-yard productive seasons. That wasn't enough for you. You didn't. That wasn't enough. And you had a running back there toting the thing and making people lay down and scared that he's coming toward him. That wasn't enough because of the defensive side of the ball. So naturally, when you get a guy like Julio Jones, like I just said, who counted, you know, not last year but years in the past, where these phenomenal numbers. People look at that and go, that's the Julio Jones they're going to get. They're going to start throwing the ball everywhere because the name recognition of Julio Jones. Same sort of thing when you go to the Cleveland Browns and you thought about when they got OBJ. They got OBJ. They took what he did in the Giants and they tried to put it in Cleveland, automatically assume they're getting ready to be flying, throwing the ball all over the place.
Odell's
and that's
probably
not
a good,
what it was.
Yeah, that's a yep. fair comparison, although but Odell much earlier in his career.
True.
A big difference.
And Baker was in a different – Baker's been in a different mindset towards the latter of last year
yes.
than what he was. Ryan Tannehill is a different kind of quarterback.
Well, let's find
Baker.
Out, too, with Odell in a healthy season, what he can become for Cleveland. I know it's a running game is what they're based on, but still, a guy like that, you know, you never know what they'll do.
You know, and then when you look at Randy Moss going from the Raiders for a fourth-round right. pick to New England, but the Raiders tried to kill Randy Moss's career. That was just a bad thing. They had my man out there looking like he forgot how to play football. And so naturally when he goes to New England, clearly I know he's going to be rejuvenated. I know that they're going to get the best out of him and it's going to be crazy. You know that. And maybe this situation for Julio, he can stay healthy in Tennessee and do some of the same things that he was able to do that was making him an all-pro.
That's going to be on them. Certainly, there's no doubt about that. All right, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Mako, scratches, dents, and dings on your car. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. Head to Mako.com today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take Austin in Knoxville on Julio. Austin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm from Tennessee, so, of course, I might seem a little biased on this, being a Titans fan, but I think it's huge. You know, Corey Davis had too many inconsistent times. I think he's definitely going to fill the role a lot better. But to me, it's the defensive backs for Tennessee that changes the game plan. I mean, we look lost out there. I mean, they look like a high school team out there, you know, playing against, you know, high-tier NFL talent receivers. And, you know, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that as well.
Well, their secondary wasn't very good.
Now you mentioned that. I mean, nothing's going to matter if the defense doesn't
yeah,
get better. The
secondary,
and they try to do that.
Linebacker position, that's why they go out and get a Bud Dupree. It's just, you know, you look at it, and for Vrabel, you know, his first couple years, the defense had been solid. They've been okay, but not great. That's why they couldn't advance when they needed to because they couldn't slow people down.
You're right about Zach Wilson, by the way.
What about
great kid? I mean, great kid. Had a blast.
How you go from Tennessee to Zach Wilson?
I was like, about Zach Wilson? Where did this come from?
It hit me when Jay said to me, like, what'd you think? A great kid. But it's the first impression is like, kid. Like,
that's
physically.
I was curious to hear what you thought.
He's so funny.
Because you went on to, like, the story about them drinking.
It was in the back of my head after he said it. And it's like in my head. And I'm just like, yeah, like, it just, he, not big in stature. Not, like, you don't think.
What was it?
Quarterback.
What was it? What did it look like?
He just, young. Looked extremely young.
You couldn't tell based watching him on TV?
No, but in person,
I could, but
different.
I don't saw him in person.
He looks like he's 18 years old. Yeah, his body looks like he's 16.
Yeah, he just looks young. I don't. Yeah. I'm not saying like, oh, he looks soft. He looks none of that. First of all, like, what a great personality. You see him engaging. He's not one of these guys that's like aloof in a crowd. He was having a great time. He was having a blast talking to fans. Like, it was really
Frat
cool
boy.
To see that. No, not even like that. I'm telling you, not like that at all. But size wise, it's a little like. These offensive linemen you're hanging out with, they better protect you.
So instead of winning two games, you win three. All right.
Got it. I'm just saying they got to protect them. That's all I'm saying. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Time for some Straight Talk. Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Home run in the ninth, good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. So tonight, game two, Nets and the Bucks in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, and there'll be no James Harden tonight for the Nets. The impact that it has on the Nets in this series after they won game one basically without him. Well, that's what we need to discuss, and we'll do that with Malika Andrews, our ESPN NBA reporter, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Malika, good morning. So we know he's not. We know James Harden's not playing tonight, but what's the latest, or what do you know about maybe even the rest of this series?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. So the plan for James Harden right now, Steve Nash said, you know, they're expected to monitor how he's feeling over the next several days and then reassess. We know, right, that this is the right hamstring that they're diagnosing with right hamstring tightness is what the team said. And Steve Nash said, to his knowledge, the MRI that he left the arena to go and get during game one, it didn't show any structural damage. So that's the good news. Where the team is going to continue to be cautious is you have to remember that, yes, James Harden missed 18 games in the regular season with a right hamstring strain. But before that, he missed two games with what the team was then calling right hamstring tightness. He came back, he played just 5 minutes, and then he was out for those 18 games when he got another MRI that revealed that structural damage, that strain. And so that's what the team is guarding against this time. Steve Nash says, look, it's the playoffs are the time to take risks, risks that are appropriate, risks that we calculate, risks that we deem won't pose a threat to his long-term health. But those are the things that they're balancing because they do not want history to repeat itself here.
Malika, how does the rest of the team feel about playing without James Harden?
Well, we just heard some sound, right, from Kevin Durant, from Kyrie Irving, from Steve Nash using the term heartbroken because, as Steve said, this was a player who was prepared, who was locked in, who was ready to go. Now, they have played a large stretch of the regular season without James Harden, without Kevin Durant. They've played stretches without Kyrie Irving even. And so, yes, they do have this experience. Yes, they do have confidence that they were able to string together lots of wins in those times. But it's not ideal. Steve Nash said, no, we'd never look back and plan on using the experience that we had without our point guard on the floor. But because that's the reality, at least for game two, if not longer, they're going to be looking at Mike James, who played 30 minutes in game one. They're going to be looking at Blake Griffin to step up, but it's not something that this team feels awesome about, obviously.
Malika, what did the team say about the performances from guys like Blake Griffin and Bruce Brown in game one?
Well, they said that they were essential. Yes, they were nice. Yes, they were fun to watch. Yes, it was nice that Blake Griffin had his first playoff double-double since 2016 when he was a member of the Clippers, but it's going to be needed. It's going to need to be more of a performance by committee when you're missing a player of James Harden's caliber. And so Blake Griffin sort of set the bar incredibly high for what's going to be needed in this series if they want to sort of make up for one, that offensive firepower. We saw Joe Harris make more threes almost. He had five. The Bucks combined had six. So those are the types of performances that they know they're going to continue to need other guys to continue to do that if they want to build this to a 2-0 lead from a 1-0 lead.
Malika, thank you very much for the time. This is going to be an interesting game tonight for sure, right? Because you think about the impact of the game two without a James Harden and then the series moving on to Milwaukee. So obviously all eyes on this as the Nets has always been, if healthy, we'll see if they can stay healthy now the rest of this series. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Malika.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Malika Andrews on the Goodyear Hotline with the latest on the Brooklyn Nets. And Jay, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. Of the three, we always talked about who can you afford to lose, right? Like you really don't want to lose any
anybody
of them. Yeah. But, you know, if there's power ranking them, KD's the guy you cannot lose, right? I mean, he's the best player left in the playoffs.
Yes.
He's the best player in the NBA.
Yes.
But we had also, you know, with Luka and his impact on Dallas and you know, what he meant to them. But when you think about everybody now in the playoffs, the most important star left for his team, you could say maybe it's a Kawhi. I think it's Kevin Durant. Most important star left for his team.
I mean, you can make the case for Kawhi. I mean, I don't think they get by Dallas without him having averaging 30-plus, shooting 60% from the field.
You mean shutting down Luka?
Or shutting down Luka, as people say. I mean,
so you think he's more important because you got Paul George. You think he's more important to the Clippers?
This whole game, like, who's the most important? Like, is Jokic the most important? Because, I mean, Denver's not doing anything without Jamal Murray if Jokic isn't playing. Like, they're not out of the first round. I don't know. That's a really tough question. KD obviously would be up there as one of the tough guys, but Giannis too.
If you take Kevin Durant off of the Nets.
If you take Giannis off of Milwaukee, Milwaukee's not in the position they are.
No, not at all. But are the Nets still a championship contender if you lose Kevin Durant?
With James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the same team, that's up there. I'm not saying it's going to win it, but it's pretty good.
That still would be up there.
That's pretty good.
Are they the favorite?
No.
Right? And to me, championship favorite, that's why I put KD on that level.
It just gets even with Milwaukee. Even,
right.
Yeah. Without KD, it's an even. It's a little more even. With him, it's different.
Well, that's why I think your odds would be the difference, right? Your odds of winning a championship. The Nets have the best odds to win a championship, right? The Bucks are number two. If you take KD away, would the Bucks become number one?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's how I feel, even with Harden back. But Harden's injury is the thing that
close.
I think has been –
It'd be close.
It'd be close? All right.
I think it'd be
close. But Harden's injury –
It'd be close.
Is that – isn't that always been the thing with the Nets? When healthy. That's the thing with the Nets. When healthy.
Well, that's the thing for a lot of teams right now.
Of course it is. But they,
I mean, the Lakers, when healthy. I mean, Denver, with Jamal Murray, when healthy.
But putting these three together, the whole thing was you've got these three guys to win a championship. And Harden's injury now is that first concern.
But it doesn't matter to me if KD is there. If Harden is resting and Kyrie's there and KD's there, it doesn't really matter. They still are favored, in my opinion.
I still think it matters. I think it matters in a big way not having James Harden on the floor.
Or not having him at 100%. Because the hamstring's not, you guys know. Hamstring, even tightness, you think that's just, give him a couple of days rest, he'll be fine?
Put it this way. We'll see tonight.
Yeah.
If it matters.
Well, here's the thing. So, Kevin Durant is a spectacular scorer. Made the most gifted scorer we've ever seen in the history of the game, right? Can do that. Kyrie Irving is a really gifted scorer as well. So, now you're asking Kyrie to say, hey, be a gifted scorer and a playmaker. I've seen Kyrie as a playmaker. The ball's in his hands a lot. And I get that. But when James Harden's on the floor, it allows Kyrie just to hunt his shot. And it gives a different dynamic because now James is the one making everybody else around you better. And now you take that off the court. I'm not saying they can't get it done. I think Bucks are going to win tonight.
But who gets in their way?
The Milwaukee Bucks get in their way.
They should.
All right.
They should. If they don't, then we're going to have a DEFCON 5 type of scenario. It's going to turn into a really
–
this puts on a lot of heat on the Milwaukee Bucks, Coach Bud. We sat up here and we talked about Doc Rivers not making execution strategies in the first game with Philadelphia and the Hawks. If they don't get a win, or if this turns into they're up 3-1 and the Bucks are on the verge of being eliminated without James Harden, that's going to be a huge, huge red flag.
But it's not saying he's going to miss the rest of the series, though. So
he had hamstring tightness and he missed
the same thing. He had throughout the year.
What?
18 games.
18 games this year. Same hamstring.
He missed. It's not like something that's just going to get better. And with a player like him and the way he plays, it's not like just play through it. That's not something you want to do with a player like
and
that.
And if the Nets win tonight without James Harden, I'm not rushing back to come back
and
play.
No, I don't need to.
That's I'm going to sit there and watch and say, what happens in game three?
Yeah. You rest him up as long as you can.
Yes.
I'll say it. You're alluding to it. I'll say it. The Bucks have to win tonight. They have to have the mentality of winning
and
almost like setting that tone of you have to win this game and take control of a series now that you know that they've got one injury. They've got one. And you got to put pressure. Honestly, if you're the Bucks, it's now or never. This is the game.
Well, because
right now, what you did to the Celtics is nice. I mean, I'm sorry, the Heat is nice. You kind of exercise a little demon
but this
there.
This is the team.
But this right here's where you start to make your claim as that team that you better start taking us seriously. And tonight's the night you do it.
And if they don't, they go down 2-0. They go back to Milwaukee. Obviously, the fan base will be going crazy. But if Brooklyn go in there and they're still one, they come back at 3-1.
That's
now
my point.
What?
But it's beyond all of that. It's because they have an injury. It's because they have that in the back of their minds. It's because you know that game one was about you not making shots. It wasn't about the Nets played you well defensively. It wasn't about that. You didn't make any shots. You missed a lot of threes, which is a big part of what you do. You got away from a little bit of what you do as well. But the three-point shot is what they do. They also defensively take away the paint, and they make you take a lot of shots from the outside.
Why were you missing a lot of threes, though?
Was just open.
Chris Middleton
missed shots.
I'm just shooting too hard. I'm not shooting clear enough. Why are you missing them?
Jay, you said they looked like they were sped up.
Right? Well, yeah. I said this to Jalen before the game started. I said the pace of this game is going to be so important because Brooklyn is going to want to make it a fast-paced game. Like, the more you accumulate the number of possessions in the game, it allows them to play. Like, it's a polished streetball version.
Yeah.
Like a Rucker Park. I've been saying that all the time. But what you notice in the first quarter when they came out, Giannis dominated the block. Brook Lopez dominated the block. Like, they started punching. And that's also how you attack Kevin Durant. You get Kevin Durant in foul trouble. Like, we haven't talked about that, right? We're talking about if you attack KD or Kyrie gets in foul trouble, then how do you manage if you're Brooklyn? So attack that offensively, too. You attack that by matchups, and that happens in the half court. Slow the pace of the game down. That's what Coach Bud has to do, and not get into this one-on-one-on-one, just play fast, shoot a lot of threes.
And see if Blake Griffin can keep this up, too, right? The way he was shooting threes and all that
see,
stuff.
See, Mike James keep this up, too. All right, keep scoring off the bench.
Yeah, woo. I mean, if you're going to lose, all right, let me see if your supporting cast can keep doing it. But it is I definitely believe this injury levels the playing field now in the series. And if you're Milwaukee, if you're Giannis, you've got to walk into this game and think this is must win. It's not technically, but in your mind, this has to be a must-win game. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of Giannis and Market Madness, Elite Eight, One Name Wonders, a regional final we have going on right now at KeyJNZ on Twitter. Giannis versus Yachty in the One Name Wonders, Yachty Molina. Giannis dominant, 61.5% to 38.5%. St. Louis Market, you want to get your guy.
When is it closed?
Get him now. We got 20 hours to go.
Oh, so after the night, then that number will change.
Or maybe not, depending on the performance. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So can anyone stop the Nets, even without James Harden? We'll ask a former NBA coach after he has this from O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from their professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposits required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Julio Jones seems to be headed to the Titans. That plus all the NBA action as we reconvene. It's Greeny starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And a 1-2 to Xander. And he gets this ball elevated to deep center field. It's playable for Gardner. But what a job Xander does to deliver the go-ahead run, Christian Arroyo.
Call Ravitch with the call on ESPN Radio. What you didn't hear is this terrible called strike three against the Yankees in the ninth, but we won't discuss that. The Red Sox did beat the Yankees 6-5 in the 10th, finishing off a three-game sweep of New York in their first series of the season. Red Sox with three straight wins over the Yankees after losing the previous 12 straight against New York. Red Sox have won consecutive games at Yankee Stadium for the first time since August of 2017. The Yankees 3 runs or fewer in 33 games this season, tied with the Pirates for most such games in the majors. To the NBA tonight, no James Harden for the Nets. He's ruled out a game 2 against the Bucks with hamstring tightness. You get full coverage, by the way, of game 2 on ESPN Radio, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. ESPN BPI gives the Nets a 52% chance to beat the Bucks without James Harden in the lineup. That's compared, however, to 61% if he was playing. Also, their chance to win a title drops from 28% to 9% without James Harden. The Nets have scored 100 points in 7 consecutive playoff games. That dates back to the bubble, which is the longest streak in franchise history. To the ice. The NHL has reached an agreement with the Canadian government to allow teams to travel across the U.S.-Canada border. Why is this important? Because the agreement clears the way for the next round of the playoffs when a Canadian team has to play a U.S. team. The winner of Canadiens Jets, and Montreal, by the way, up 3-0 in that series, will face the winner of the Golden Knights and Avalanche, and that series is tied at 2. SportsCenter brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC 6-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/KJZ. That's dollarshaveclub.com/KJZ.
43 seconds in, James Harden had to head to the locker room because what appeared to be a hamstring problem.
We got guys that, you know, will step up and take that call.
Perfect.
The Nets are not going to hang their head, going to continue to go out here and compete.
Relentless pace and attack. Attack, attack, attack.
The crowd reacting to this outstanding performance by the Brooklyn Nets to take game 1. Let's see how the Bucks react.
So the series continues tonight between the Nets and the Bucks, and there's no James Harden in that. What kind of impact it has on the series is one of several questions that we have for former NBA head coach Alvin Gentry, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Alvin, good morning. So the question for you is a simple one. What do you think of the Nets now without James Harden? Do you feel like it evens up this series with the Bucks?
Well, I think anytime you take away an elite player like James Harden, I mean, you know, arguably one of the 2 or 3 best players in the league, you know, if not the best player in the league. So when you take that away, I think it does take something away from that team. But they've got so much depth that, you know, you think of what Kyrie can do, what Kevin Durant can do. And then when a guy like Blake Griffin step up the way he did, I still think they're going to be a team that's going to be hard to beat 4 times before they can beat you 4 times.
AG, Jay Williams here. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I wanted to ask you, obviously you spent some time with AD down in New Orleans. Do you think all the criticism that he got about not being able to play or people calling him soft or in street clothes, do you think any of that was fair?
No, I don't, because you guys have been elite athletes, you and Keyshawn both, and you know anything in the groin area becomes a really, really tough situation, especially for a guy like him who's very athletic and uses athleticism more than he does just his brute strength. So it's unfortunate that happened to him. Obviously, if you go back and look, even from the bubble when they won the championship, he had every right to be voted MVP in that series, really, if you go back and look at what he's done and then look at what he did when he was healthy, you know, the 34 and 32 points and, you know, control what he did defensively. So it's unfortunate that you know, he'd get injured, but that's part of the game. And, you know, I think everyone says, hey, next man's got to step up, and I don't think that happened for the Lakers, you know.
One of the things I've been hearing around is that, you know, and I'm curious, you know, with your time with him there, obviously there's a history of him being injury prone, but I've been hearing a lot of people say, well, you know, can he take his body to the next level, Alvin? Like, you know, his off-season workouts, like, are they as strict as they should be? You know, is he staying as lean, or is he coming back with muscle mass? Could that be the difference between him not being injured as much as he has been in the years before?
Well, if you go back and look at my time with him in New Orleans, you know, every summer he came back
you know, in the fall for training camp. He was bigger. He was stronger. He had worked on part of his game. So I'm not sure if that's an accurate statement from the standpoint of how he is training. But there is something there, definitely, you know, because he's the guy to take care of his body. He's not a partier. He's a guy that wants to be the best player. So it's unfortunate that he gets injured. But I don't see anything that I saw in his lifestyle or his training that would make him suffer injuries that he's suffered over the course of his career right now.
Alvin Gentry, former NBA head coach, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Coach, when you look at the Western Conference as a whole, my Lakers obviously are in Cancun vacationing at this point. For your money, who's the best team left in the West?
Wow, that's a tough one because, you know, obviously I have feelings for Phoenix. You know, I was there, and I think Monty's done an outstanding job there. My son is an intern there, so obviously I favor them a little bit. I think what Chris Paul has brought to the table for that team from a leadership standpoint and then the way he's elevated Book's game and the way he's elevated Aiden's game, I think, you know, they'll have a chance. I also like, you know, Utah. How can you not like Utah? And obviously, if Donovan is healthy, they're going to be pretty good too. But Denver seems to be a team that just finds a way to do it. You know, the players that they've lost and losing Murray at this stage and then them being able to win the games that they have, you would also have to, you know, take a look at them too. And then the other team that I think is finding their way is the Clippers. You know, obviously, losing their first two games at home and then coming back and losing, you know, another game, a huge, huge game at home and being down 3-2 and being able to win the next two games. You know, they could be a team that that's really going to be a force to be reckoned with. And they've got two of the best defenders on the perimeter. Now, I don't think, you know, if you talk to Luka, he may not agree with that, but, you know, they've got two elite defenders that's able to guard anybody other than Luka, I would say.
Coach, you faced LeBron in 2015 as assistant with the Warriors. How surprised are you to see him gone after the first round? Like, he's not anywhere to be found. There's really no real superstar, television superstar left in the West.
Well, you know, what LeBron has done over the course of his career has been, you know, I mean, the guy's been in 10 out of the last 11 finals. And even in 2015, when we played him, you know, I think everybody forget that he was without Kyrie. He was without Kevin Love. And the guy, what he did in those series, it was a possibility that he could have been one of those guys that was MVP on a losing team, which has only happened once in the history of this league. But he's a phenomenal player. What he's done and the legacy that he has right now, you know, it's hard for me to say anyone is ever going to be better than MJ. But the if you look at his resume, he's the only guy that I think it could come close to someone saying that what he's done is right there with Michael, I think. But, you know, he didn't have a, you know, he did his part, I think, from the standpoint of playing and what he tried to do with the team. And it just wasn't quite good enough. You know, they played a team in Phoenix that was a very good basketball team, and I think people are realizing that now.
Yeah, he's starting to see it. Alvin, one thing, I've covered the league a long time. One thing I know is you don't stay unemployed for long. That's how good of a coach you are. So I want to ask you about one of the vacancies, and that is Portland. And why I ask is this, because I wonder if the job is attractive because of Damian Lillard, or is it maybe one that you'd hesitate because you don't know if Damian Lillard is going to be there?
You know, I still think it's an attractive job, and I think, you know, the thing that's a little bit bothersome is that I thought Terry did as good a job as anyone in the league. You know, when you think about the teams that he's lost to, you know, they're talking about him losing in the first round to Golden State. Don't think that's a bad thing. They talk about him losing, you know, to Denver this year. And I know that they were without players, but if you go back and look, they have a guy in the Joker that really controls the game more so than any other big guy ever, really. You know, what he does for that team, he's the point guard, he's the center, he's the post-up guy, he's the assist guy. So I think losing to Denver was not, you know, anything that anybody should be talking to Portland about anyway. They've got two great guards. I think the one thing that everybody talks about a little bit is that they're smaller guys, though. And offensively, they're tremendous. Defensively, you know, sometimes it's a challenge. You know, we played them in the playoffs 3 years ago when I was in New Orleans. And the one thing that we tried to do is that we tried to take Dame and we tried to take CJ out of the game and make someone else beat you. And we did that by trapping him and doing a lot of those things right there. And then defensively, you know, it's a challenge for them playing some of the bigger guards sometimes. So. I don't know. I can't see Dame as a guy. I mean, he's one of my favorite guys in the whole league. I can't see him as a guy that's going to run away from a challenge. I think you'll see him accept that challenge and try to hopefully they can upgrade something that can help him there.
Definitely that means that that is an attractive job if he does stay. Alvin, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right, Coach.
No problem, guys. You know, all right, we'll see what happens with this. I think it's going to be a great, great you know, the teams that are left is going to be a great challenge. And we didn't talk about Atlanta at all in the East, but I think they're playing as well as any team out there.
Well, feel free to come back. We have more to talk to you about, no doubt about that.
All right, I'll do that, guys.
Right, Alvin Judge, and I mean it, a guy that you normally doesn't stay unemployed for long. That's how good of a coach he is and how well-respected he is around the league. He joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by California Almonds. Whether your best means being the best bingo player in the office or the best volleyball player on the planet, you're going to need some help. Almonds are your snack to keep your head in the game and your body energized. So refuel with almonds, California Almonds. Own your every day. I'll get that right. Call a roulette. Coming up next, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, a sign that things are not exactly back to normal yet in sports. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
It's time for Call a Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Right there on the East River. Jay's yacht pulling up, ready to take him home. Be a quick trip for you if you think about it.
That's the water taxi, by the way.
I'm not saying that was your yacht. I'm just the water taxi. It's already 82 degrees, by the way, before 10 a.m. here in New York City. It looks beautiful. But over the weekend, just before we get the call, we'll let everybody, we'll get to you in a second. I just want to get your guys' reaction to this. John Rahm, so he was leading the Memorial six strokes. And he was informed after his round on Saturday that he tested positive for COVID-19. He had to withdraw from the tournament with the lead.
After he finished 18.
They wouldn't let him sign the card or anything. Right after like he finished 18. They had masks on around him. Now, he had been exposed to somebody, so that's why he was getting tested. He was exposed. He only had one of the vaccine shots so far. He wasn't fully vaccinated. And he was exposed to someone who tested positive. So they had to keep testing him, and he was negative, negative, and then that third round, positive. So it's like, there are some people making the arguments that why couldn't he just play by himself out there on the course and not have to, be around anybody? And, could he finish? It's a sport where there's nobody around you for the most part, but he couldn't finish it.
So it would have been like who? Him and his caddy only?
Yeah, I guess you could probably do it that way, or he just carries on back.
It's six-stroke lead, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he was good.
Have you seen the video of how he reacts when he sees it?
How would you react?
I would be livid. I would be livid.
Yeah, we're showing it right now on ESPN News. And he's getting...
the thing is, the Open's coming up too. So, I mean, the quarantine time puts it very, very close, to that day as well.
Yeah, it's Father's Day weekend, which is, another week and a half?
Week
right?
and a half.
Yeah,
2 days. He'll come out of quarantine.
Two days and then play the U.S. Open.
If he doesn't test negative. Now, he can retest and test negative two straight. I think it's two tests in a 24-hour period.
Right.
But if he doesn't do that, it'll put him 2 days out. His reaction was as if he found out somebody died. Like Jim Nance said on the broadcast, like they thought it was worse than him testing positive for COVID when they saw his reaction. Like they were relieved that that was the
news.
Yeah, they were relieved that that was the news based on his reaction. They thought something.
Well, because he had a chance to win a tournament, he was probably feeling great about his game, and then now he knows that's the end of that. Like you're out, and that's a frustrating way to go out because it's something you can't control. But that's the sign of the times. I mean, I was just in an arena where there's 16,000 people and it was loud, 13,000 people. It was loud. We were on top of each other. It's all that stuff. Watching a playoff game. And I remember saying to myself, this was Islanders Bruins on Saturday. And I remember saying to myself, like, this feels as normal as I've felt in the last year and a half. And we were all kind of also saying, this is also a pretty good test of the vaccine. But then you see that and you realize it's still going on. Right? Sports is still being impacted by it.
Yeah, because he didn't get the second shot, though. So he wasn't fully vaccinated.
Right, he didn't get to that point. And then
that's happened a couple of times to people.
Yeah, yeah. So again, and it could happen in the NBA. We had that question also about the NBA. And certain teams that aren't at 85% is all it takes is that one, and you lose a star player, and what kind of impact would it have? But we saw it in golf. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about your Lakers. All right, let's get to caller roulette, and let's spin the wheel. Line two.
Hey, Mark from Charleston, West Virginia. LeBron, one of the greatest of all time, but y'all need to sit down with that. Jordan is the GOAT. That man would not dish to anybody in a pressure situation. He wanted the ball in his hand. He is the GOAT. This year's playoffs prove that. He would not let Steph beat him. He would not let LeBron beat him. Nobody is beating Jordan. He's the GOAT. Once and for all, sit down if you think otherwise.
It was nice for Jordan to have Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc and his teams intact as well. I'm not saying Jordan wasn't a killer, but
that is is that now
teams
the
win championships
greatest
guys
debate
your-
in sports, right? There's no debate hotter than that one.
Until LeBron wins again.
The LeBron-Jordan debate will roll
once
on.
He wins, then you're going to swing back. He lost, so now it's time to pile on.
I don't know if we're going to see LeBron James win again.
Let's spin it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Gotta make a case for it. Line five.
Hey, guys. It's Joey D from Atlantic City. I have a question about the 76ers-Hawks series. Do you think the officials will allow them to play more of a playoff-style basketball instead of such ticky-tack fouls?
Thank can I tell you, though, if you watched the last 4 minutes of that game, I mean, they weren't calling anything.
Nothing.
They didn't call anything. That was definitely playoff basketball. I mean,
so
I saw Ben Simmons rake down the arms. They didn't call anything on Atlanta. I mean, they were just letting them play.
But, Jay, can I ask you about that, the lean-in foul on Trey?
Yeah.
Where he leans in, he puts the chicken wing in, and he falls away, and they keep giving him that call. Even on review, they gave him that call.
Yeah. It's part of what do you want me to say?
That it shouldn't be called? That it's something that
I mean, that's a no call.
Discuss?
I mean, if you want to go back, it's hard to review that in real time, but I agree.
To say that he's not in defensive position, give me a break. The guy's making contact with you and shoving off, and that's a foul. It's nothing. You just take the foul away and let's go.
Trey's a genius at creating contact.
No, it's he's.
All right, roll it.
Why are you cutting it
off?
You,
are you done with this
conversation? You just don't.
I thought this was an interesting debate back and forth. Fine, we can spin it.
Spin it.
Very impatient today. I know what it is.
Moody key today.
Yeah, line four. Yeah, he knows he's about to walk out into high humidity.
No, I'm actually getting ready.
Hey, this is Donald. This is Donald from Nashville.
What's up?
Hey, I'm glad D. Mace came on and told the truth, man. One thing I learned about the general manager for Titans is that he lucky go for the splash instead of going for what we need. I really don't think that was a good move for us to get. Because we did the same thing last year with Clowney, and how did I do it?
Second round pick. Yeah. I mean, the second round pick's the one you're going to feel the most. We got to see if this does have an impact on them or if they just sort of stay where they are. Then you just gave up a second round pick to stay where you are.
Ryan Tannehill, what's up?
Yeah, no, it's got like, you know, to make, yeah, got to make good.
What's
on
up?
It.
It's time.
Change the offense.
So what is no. NBA?
Five wides out.
No.
Run and shoot.
No.
Make this shot. Talk That's about run all. And shoot. Greeny's next. See you tomorrow.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.